I call the City of Franklin's Common Council to order. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson.
Here.
Alderman Solomon.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderman Skransky.
Here. Please rise. Join me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda is citizens' comment period. Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir. Please state your name and address for the record.
Craig Haskins, 5444 West Harvard Drive, right here in Franklin. I'm just speaking on behalf of the biller proposal for the aquaponics facility. You guys know I'm the chairman of the Franklin, the Forward Franklin. Sorry, Steve. I always get that wrong. Forward Franklin Economic Development Committee, and we heard Mr. Biller's testimony the other night about the aquaponics. It's in an area of 27th Street that hits the overlay district. I know that bothers some of you, but by your own admissions, this is in a section of 27th Street that is scheduled to be developed or even thought to be developed in the 20-plus year period. It's been a farm from the man's family since World War II. I can think of a better use, but I couldn't see why this wouldn't be something that you'd consider. You guys are going to spend $1.5 million of his own money in an area that you can't see from Oak Creek or 27th Street that sits behind a cement factory and a gentleman's club. So I just don't see why you wouldn't consider such a unique industry that could put Franklin as the capital of this industry in not only Wisconsin, but according to Mr. Biller, the rest of the country. So hopefully you've put some thought into it and you consider it. Our committee voted unanimously in favor of it, and look forward to moving forward on this one. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir. Again, if you could please state your name and address for the record.
Name's Michael Welk. I live at 7217 South 36. Good evening, everyone. I wanted to commend the City of Franklin tonight on its stance of concealed carry and following Wisconsin law as it pertains to where a law-abiding citizen can carry. Franklin is one of the few communities that understands the right of the people to keep and bear arms for security, defense, hunting, recreation, or any other lawful purpose. This simply does not end at a doorway or a wall. Leaders in surrounding communities have been restricting where citizens can and cannot protect themselves. Recently in primarily in buildings that the public has paid for, and it seems to me the only reason given is due to a lack of trust of the same public that is responsible for putting them into office in the first place. My vote is important to you, but somehow my safety and my life are not. A neighboring community recently has passed and published an ordinance that prohibits city employees from any kind of personal protection during the course of his or her employment. So when the men and women who keep the streets clear of snow at 3 a.m. or clean up after storm damage, keeping their community safe, are left to fend for themselves should the unthinkable ever happen. If I was a gagmanger or drug addict and possessed the ability to read, I would be thanking that community for announcing to everyone that their city employees are ripe for the picking. Criminals do not adhere to the law, and they take the path of least resistance. Wisconsin is not done. Its citizens need Castle Doctrine and Stand Your Ground to truly start to level a playing field. Many months ago, I contacted Mayor Taylor about initially joining Michael Bloomberg's Mayors Against Illegal Guns and was pleased to find out that the mayor left once he understood what Michael Bloomberg was really trying to do. I am proud then, just as I am proud tonight, to live in a city where its leaders understand the safety of its residents and visitors and also upholds both the constitutions of the United States and the Constitution of Wisconsin. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. By the way, you did a great job. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
Hi, my name is Mike Sweeney. My address, I live currently in some dirt on 9610 West Elm Leaf Lane. It's a good dirt, though.
For a short period of time.
I'm here in support of the aquaponics and looking at this project, looking at the opportunity that we have for any potential growth for that area, doing it now. As I talked to a few people in regards to TIFs and money being generated in that area, although it may not line up 100% with the TIF concept that's over there that's generating the money needed for the TIF. It's an opportunity still to get a good portion of money now. In regards to waiting, you know, 10, 15, 20 years down the road to utilize, you know, this million-dollar acreage TIF concept of what you like to achieve, I think waiting for it is not the answer. I think taking a business that's unique and that is going to be needed down the road in the future in regards to restaurants, even Wheaton Francisco, being able to utilize and purchase fruits right across the street cuts their costs. You know, having a public market concept, creating restaurant development around that area. If it's a important hub, if it's, you know, in regards to Drexel development, getting more traffic flow over there, being able to use something like this project that someone has the money, has the resource, has the land, and he's ready to do it and to develop it, I would hate to see looking at developing Franklin as a business move, telling him no, telling him to go somewhere else. Telling someone that has 80 acres of land that only wants to use 3 acres, tell him to go somewhere else and find some land out in the boonies. So I would definitely love to see Common Council consider being aggressive and working with aquaponics and making this project go. Because right now, best of my knowledge, it's the only thing on the table that is going to happen on that street currently. So something versus nothing, a concept that's highly talked about, making the Journal Sentinel. So it's not like this is something that's going to go away. And with future growth in regards to how we get our food and plants, this is definitely a way of the future. So it's not something that's going to get sidebar. It's not a fad. It's not going to go away. It's only going to grow. And if Franklin could, you know, take it underneath its wings and help it fly, I think it's a bonus for the city of Franklin.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Not. I'm going to close the citizens' comment period and turn to announcements. You should have in your packet the letter from Chris Avely, County Executive, to the County Board of Supervisors regarding his veto of the resolution that was put forward by Supervisor Weishin. My understanding is the issue will be coming up on Thursday, and will require the County Board to override his veto.
You answer.
And so it's in here for your information. I do want to compliment the city attorney in putting together the letter that went down to Mr. Avely, and there are a number of other, you should know that your county supervisors were very supportive of our efforts and have expressed that they continue to be so, to be in that direction. And I also want to thank the chairman of MMSD for writing a letter to the county board, county executive, that clearly explained the position of MMSD to them in from MMSD's position. So any questions? Not. Move to the next item, and letter from Milwaukee County Executive Chris Avely regarding the Milwaukee County Paramedic Program. Obviously, this letter is not as favorable as the other, but I did want you to get what he sent to Chief Jankowski from Hales Corners, who's the chief of the chiefs, and look at the rationale or lack of rationale for this. The county board will be again voting on funding for that, I believe, on Thursday. My understanding, after talking to the fire chief today, is that there's an amendment to the amendment that was put forward by Supervisor Dmitrievich and Weishin. I think that was the only two that had some, that cut it down to $1.5 million from the $3 million, but it had some different provisions in there that some of us, fire chiefs, et cetera, thought may be in violation of our contracts. My understanding is there's another amendment now that has removed many of those provisions, but it's still at a $1.5 million figure. We should not forget that even if the county board was to pass this, that the entire budget is subject to the county executive's veto power. I think he may enjoy line item veto. I thought Scott Walker had got that when he was a county executive. So just wanted to keep you informed of what's going on. Any questions? Not item C, approval of minutes, regular meeting of October 18th, 2011.
So moved.
Second.
The moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 2, approval of special meeting of October 27, 2011.
Move to
it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now go down to item G1. Ordinance to amend the municipal code to incorporate statutes regulating activities relating to the carrying of weapons and firearms, which are punishable by statute with a forfeiture.
So moved.
There's a motion. It's been made.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Under discussion, I'd like Chief Oliva. I'm actually going to pass the gavel.
Your Honor?
Yeah. I don't make a habit of looking at blogs and stuff, but over the last few days I've had the ability of sitting in some quiet spaces and had time to read. I just want to clear some things up, and that's that. Police Chief and I spoke about bringing a resolution forward to this council for their consideration. It is not the Police Chief's desire to set policy. It is not my desire to set policy on this subject. I did review the tape of the meeting, and the police chief was extremely clear, at least on two occasions, where he said that item 2 that was in the packet was completely and totally up to the discretion of the common council. That also, as the person that was moving the resolution forward, was my position. I've had the ability of talking to the chief in the last few days, and I think it's important to understand, correct me if I'm wrong, Chief, but I think since the inception of the state constitution, people in Wisconsin have always, always been able to carry firearms. They just had to carry it on their outside of their person, in a holster. If I had my 30-06 or a couple of my 30-06s or my shotgun, I could wear it right here, and I could have it right here, right now. So could all of you, so could everybody in the audience. And that has never varied one iota since the inception of the Constitution. So what's before us tonight is not whether people are allowed to carry weapons. The issue is whether people can conceal those weapons. If I had my pistol here tonight, which Chief and I talked about, maybe I would bring it tonight. If the pistol is here and it's loaded and sitting there, it's fine. If I have my rifle sitting here, it's fine. What is not fine is if I took that pistol and put it, let's say if I was wearing a suit coat, put it over here, especially if I didn't have a permit. And that's about the only thing that has changed, and that's really the only thing that's in front of you. There are a lot of people that are trying to portray this as though this is the first time that the people of Wisconsin have had the ability of carrying weapons. People of Wisconsin have always had that right. And so I wanted to clear that up, and especially I really don't like when people are taking documents and misconstruing them and turning them and manipulating them and lying about them, and especially since I was a former National Rifle Association member, have always supported the Second Amendment of the Constitution, and I want to get that out because the documents that came before this council were clear, concise, and unambiguous, and they were not open for interpretation. it said what it said, and on top of that, the police chief, in my absence, stated that for item two, he clearly wanted the decision to come from Common Council. That's it. Alderman Skronsky.
Maybe I'll let the chief speak first, and then I will speak after it. Chief?
Well, the ordinance you have today is what was directed at the last meeting. The original ordinance did have two parts to it. The one that was voted on was your decision not to post city buildings, so it was directed to come back with the other portion of the ordinance, which is in front of you today, which basically I am recommending this ordinance. All it does is what we do with all our other laws. We adopt state law to city ordinances, so it gives the police department the ability to enforce what would be state law, in this case state forfeitures, as a city offense. And all our other laws, state laws, are incorporated into city ordinances, and that's what I'm asking for this, especially in the case of city ordinances. For state forfeitures, they're virtually unenforceable because of the process that person has to go through to get a forfeiture enforced. This would make it more practical to enforce these violations. I would note that two of these that I'm asking for really don't directly impact CCW permit holders. The first, number A, really deals with the transporting of long guns, which it's always been on the books. It's the current law, and I'm just asking for a city ordinance to be able to enforce it so we don't have to go to a state law to enforce. The item E regarding the 1,000 feet of a school ground does not affect a permit holder for CCW. Right now, that's the, gap in the law. All that pertains to is someone who does not have a carry concealed weapon permit. Right now, according to the state law, they cannot be within 1,000 feet of the school. So again, that just gives us a mechanism to enforce that by city ordinance. If you have a permit, you are entitled to be within 1,000 feet of the school. So that doesn't affect the CCW permit. The other ones do affect permit holders. And again, it's just a way to enforce the permitting law. Requires people to carry their permits on their person, which they should anyway, and I believe they will. I don't believe it's going to be a huge issue, but again, we don't pass laws and ordinances for 99.9% of the people. We pass them for that one or two people that, for whatever reason, decide not to obey the law or the ordinance. But the one violation, if you are a permit holder and you're not carrying it at the time, it's a releasable ticket. It's like getting a ticket for your headlight out. You come in the next day and you show us your permit, and no harm, no foul. So these are really minor things. It's just a mechanism to enforce the law and get some bare compliance with the law, which I think, again, I anticipate 99.9% of compliance.
Yeah, so in the ordinance that we have in front of us will not obstruct or detain any citizen from entering this building with a concealed firearm, providing they are legally permitted to do so. Is that correct?
Not.
Pardon?
No, it's no restrictions at all regarding people entering the building.
Or any of the city buildings or property?
No. Okay. It does not affect that at all.
Okay. Alderman Schmidt?
Just to clarify then in public buildings, they will not be putting up signs that no concealed weapons allow it.
No, you voted not to do that, so there is no provision for posting of any city building at this time.
Okay.
Mr.
Bennett?
I just did talk to our HR and the city employees. They're not allowed to carry any kind of weapon.
That's another issue. I believe it's a city policy issue that I don't think it needs to be addressed with the ordinance.
No, but just to let you know, because it came up in our
Mr. Alderman Skronsky.
Does this ordinance trump that personal in the HR department?
No,
which governs?
This has nothing to do with that decision. That could be that's a separate decision. This ordinance does not address that.
Because I want to know, so there's no conflict. Now they carry it now. They got a hammer, they got a wrench, and your suspenders will detract anything. So, okay, I don't want to have conflict along the way. And I understand reasonability to your job performance and to your personal being. That's all.
Alderman Wilhelm and Mr. LeBrun.
I just want to point out that the last meeting I made the motion to have Mark Roberta and the city attorney and the police chief see if we wanted to look into that change, but this body decided not to second the motion, so if it's a concern now, we should address it at the last time. That was, we didn't receive a second, so I don't think that's before us here for a vote right now, so I think we should just hold on the issue.
Just as a point of clarification, our employee handbook has, as many of them do, has always prohibited weapons for employees. As the chief says, it doesn't really impact that ordinance. The distinction is if you violate that ordinance, you're a misdemeanor, I believe it is, whereas if you violate the handbook, you're only dealing about a disciplinary matter in the human resources arena. I imagine with the change in the law, that existing policy will be reevaluated to determine if it remains appropriate as a workplace rule, which is entirely different from an ordinance.
I just would point out again, and that's that my understanding is since the inception of the state constitution, Wisconsin citizens have always been able to carry weapons on their outside. However, almost every personnel policy in every workplace has always said you cannot have weapons. We have iPods, we have radios, we have things of that nature. All of us can use those. Not employees, usually, because it may interfere with their workflow. The only thing that's really changed that's in front of us is, as I said, you had a pistol here right now that's perfectly legal. If I pick that pistol up, put it in my vest, and don't have a permit, I would be in violation of the law. That's the only substantial change. Okay. All right, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.
Mr. Mayor, let's do a roll call.
There's a request for a roll call.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Salomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skronsky.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you very much, Chief.
Thanks, Chief.
Hey, Chief, before you go, I just was part of the conversation we had yesterday was we still have a firearms ordinance that if somebody was in here with the weapon but they discharged the weapon, they probably would be in violation of our firearms ordinance.
Absolutely. There's a number of laws associated with the use of a weapon that are still in place, so those have not changed.
Okay. Villas, Villas Condominium Retaining Wall, Mr. City Attorney.
Mayor, this was for the council on a letter from the president of the Condominium Association back on September 6th. Staff was directed to review contents of that letter, which was referred to as a claim in motion, and also all the documents in the development files and the like. So what you have before you this evening is a report I prepared, and it really was based upon prior conversations with staff. The staff had been working on the entirety of this particular development and its condition following developer bankruptcy and property foreclosures since about April 2009, and in its simplest form, what the more detailed report before the common council this evening says is pretty much what was stated on the record back on September 6th, which is also what was stated at a meeting with association representatives back on April 22 of this year, which was number one. This was an extremely difficult situation when it transpired 2.5 approximately years ago. Number two, there a lot of good things were accomplished working with foreclosing banks who took a very strong position that they were not successor developers, that they had lost billions of dollars and they were simply reacquiring the property under law, not being successors to a development agreement. Staff argued that. Staff negotiated with the banks at great length and were able to obtain completion of the most substantial and complete improvements, primarily streets and the like. There were constant communications with association representatives, I understand through the district alderman, who was involved in most, if not all, of the meetings with the banks, so the association was kept advised. There were staff and elected official meetings with association representatives during that year. Right out of the gate, it did present as a list of major issues that there were problems with the retaining walls. Just at least one instance that I documented in this report is that Department of City Development staff was out surveying landscape installation defects, and they noted that there were severe problems with retaining walls, and that it was a serious concern to the residents. The problem was, again, right out of the gate, city engineer, primarily as a negotiator on which improvements might be attainable with the banks, did try to get some form of remediation in that regard, but the answer was a point blank no, that's a private improvement, and there was no way the banks were going to agree to that. Ultimately, everything that was accomplished with the lending institutions and what remained at the time in the letter of credit funds avoided litigation, and that litigation could have easily been a coin flip as to who might have been right or wrong. So all the improvements that the council authorized, primarily the bulk of them in June 2009, so it took less than a month and a half to get all this stuff to the council and strike these main agreements, might not have been accomplished. And frankly, the part of the financing was coming from then pending potential sales of already developed parcels for which the council authorized holding of building permits or occupancy permits. So all that worked out pretty well from a staff perspective, and our sense was that the association was happy by the end of that year. Further, less substantial completion of those phases of the development that remained incomplete came in during the course of, if not into, and then towards the end of 2010. And staff continued to work with the banks with regard to those maybe, here's the condition for a permit of this one new building or these two new buildings. And part of concessions obtained from the banks were things requested by the association, two driveway installations come to mind. In any event, I understand that the city engineer advised in whatever form, dating back 2.5 years, whether it was emails, letters, or at these meetings, that the city does not inspect or regulate retaining walls on private property. That was kind of a repeated position. I did not go back to voluminous notes in one of these thicker files sitting here to double check to see whether I was taking copious notes in total detail at all these meetings. But that was my recollection back in April when this subject came up. Frankly, I was told I had to be at a meeting and involved the Villas. I think that came from either the mayor or the first district alderman. But I know I said 3 or 4 times during that meeting, I think I found out about this meeting yesterday, and there wasn't a lot of description as to the subject matter, but wasn't this all discussed 2 years ago? So in any event, and I said, well, if the claim is that the city did not inspect these retaining walls when they were built back around 2002, don't hold me to that date because I didn't do all that total historic development data research, then that's a claim for negligent inspection. That's a 1 year statute of limitation. And at the meeting, we're looking at pictures from May of 2009, and the meeting was in April of 2011. And so they were pretty much told no claim had been filed on this, and it's too late. And that's on top of city staff saying this is not a city regulatory effort in any case because the city does not inspect or regulate retaining walls on private property. And the city engineer said it never has since he's been here, which is 1969. On top of that, there was... back on dated July 16th, received by the city on July 20th, 2009, was a letter from counsel for the association and the condominium LLC, listing all the various, what they saw as deficiencies and demanding that the letter of credit provide for all this, and that if there's insufficient funds in the letter of credit, and I'm paraphrasing here, it's a city responsibility, because the city was negligent and failed to properly inspect all these improvements as the development was occurring. So in any event, the opportunity was there if someone wanted to make a claim to follow the long time existing statutory process when you want to make a claim against the municipality. The city staff denies any wrongdoing whatsoever on this project. This is a difficult circumstance where you have developer bankruptcy and foreclosure of properties by more than one bank, and including the adjoining parcels that were developed in the Franklin Oaks. And you have to file a notice of circumstances of claim, and then you have to file a notice of claim, and then it proceeds to the governing body of the local municipality. They decide on that. If it's denied, you know, it sets a 6-month time limit to start a circuit court action. And on top of that, you have a 1-year statute of limitations. So in its purest form legally, I don't think any claim is available. And the hard practical part about that is the day the city received this correspondence, even though it wasn't a formal claim on behalf of the association, director of administration sent it right up to the city. Sure. And so they logged it like they do all others. When this claim, if you will, arises again almost 2 years later in April of this year, subsequent to that, preparing, you know, similar, where's everything at and looking at it historically, I spoke with Midwest Claims as well as League of Wisconsin Municipalities Mutual Insurance Company staff itself. And they said, well, it's a 1-year statute. No, we never received a claim. Yes, we received this letter on behalf of the association, which city-wise, that's referred to as a notice of circumstances, but that's not a legal term. And we closed our file. And there's a duty on anybody making a claim to file a claim and timely do it under the statute. So we're not getting involved. And we're not going to give you any advice because that's not our job. So that's also in the report, and that's the fact. And I was leading up to a practical matter, and the practical matter is pretend the city did something wrong. And the city was negligent in inspecting it. There was an ability there to make a claim that would have been reviewed by the city's insurer. The city's insurer is there because the city pays insurance premiums to be so insured. So the city would have been protected. And if the city were liable, pretend, then damages would have been paid by the city insurance company. that situation is not there. So when you ask for a policy recommendation, the recommendation was, as the Common Council may determine appropriate, and just historically, we've got a city engineer of 42 years who says the city does not inspect these. On the factual basis, the only place in the development file documents retaining walls appeared anywhere were on a grading plan, which is, it's a plan, there's a master grading plan for development. And after the fact, pursuant to the regulations, city regulations, the city requires the developer to have their own engineer surveyor certify the grades when the project's done. The city doesn't go out there and survey the property itself. That certification plan comes in, city staff downstairs use it just to look at the numbers of the grades that are certified to see that they match the original master grading plan. And that's all that was done here in the approval process. There are retaining walls on there, and there are specs, if you will, from the city design specifications, because there is that section on retaining walls, which has been mentioned. But those were totally ignored because they didn't play into is the lay of the land here and how high is the lay of the land there, not really how it gets there other than height. So that was the only thing that occurred here, and maybe to a third party that could be misleading, but in reality that's what it is. In a perfect world, somebody could have crossed out the retaining wall references on that and said not applicable, but it's not a perfect world.
Does the council have to take any action on this matter?
No.
Well, just a couple things. I mean, this whole situation, not just in the retaining wall, but the problems that the Phillips was having was brought to my attention in November of 2008 when I was invited to a condominium association meeting and spoke and answered some questions. On page 21, the May 1st, 2009, Phillips of Franklin major issues, that was emailed to me by the association, who then I forwarded off to staff. And if you take a look at page 24, which I think this is the most important thing, one of them, is from their attorney listing four items, none of which was the retaining wall. Their focus the entire time was trees and landscaping and finalists of asphalt. That's what the focus was. And so that's what staff worked towards the entire time, the city attorney, the engineering, talking to the banks, and staff did attempt to see if they would cover the retaining wall, and they said no. That's a private. Was it a private? Jack.
I think what they said, we would be willing to do things that weren't done yet, but we won't go back in the building
right
and correct things or anything that was built by the developer. We're not going to go back and be responsible, but we'll consider. We need to pave the private street. That really wasn't part of the letter of credit. And they were supposed to put the landscaping in. And so they put the landscaping in. And they said they really didn't have the money to do that, but if we work out a system where every time they sold a home or a condo, they would put money in for that. And they did for the first two or three, and then things were going pretty good, and they just put the rest of the money in, and then they did the road. The city did the road for them, and they paid for it.
Right.
They didn't want to contract it, and they put all the trees in that was necessary. And the planning department went out and checked all the trees. So all the landscaping was completed. There were some driveways that had to be completed, and so we were to do that. But the bank would not go and warranty things that were done by the developer. Things that were undone, they were willing to look at.
Right, and so through the entire, I guess, process from November of 2008, we accomplished everything that we possibly could, except for this item here. And for, I'd say, a year, there was no communication until I got a phone call at the very end of March and asked that we wait till after the election just because the time, I didn't have a lot of time to deal with this. And so I think Larbine was the second week, a week after the election, and we had that meeting, and they brought this to our attention. And I think it's really just the position of the association is we're at fault, and obviously it's
staff prepared a pretty good case to say that we're not at fault. So I do believe that we probably need to send this to the Phil's Association so they understand, you know, that what our position is in terms of this report.
Alderman Olson, Alderman Solomon.
1989 or 90, president of the Condominium Association, Rick Ames. 2 years out of, a year out of development, developer left, immediately declared bankruptcy. That spring, of 182 units, 73 of them developed leaky basements. After doing our due diligence with professional engineering, it was discovered that none of the basements were backfilled properly. 44 buildings. Now, we took this to our attorney and said, well, you know, we said, let's sue the city. First thing, right? Get deep pockets. And having a qualified attorney, he said, guys, it's not the city's fault. It's not the city's problem. You got a developer that's bankrupt, same situation as here. These folks need to go after all the contractors. It's not a city problem. They need to suck it up, throw in a few $100 a piece. By the way, we fixed all those buildings for $168,000. We got $180,000 back from all the contractors. It can be done. You just got to have the right attorney, and you got to stick to it. And you got to take care of your own problems. I looked at this list and went, give me a break. Now, come on, take responsibility for the development that you bought into. So, you know, I appreciate Stevie working with him and Jack and Jesse. And we spent way too, the taxpayers of this city spent way too much time on this kind of thing.
Alderman Solomon?
I too want to thank Alderman Taylor for following through with this whole scenario. And obviously, staff are getting done what they did get done in the negotiations with the banks and the condo association. I read this three times to understand it, and I was just pleased to hear the synopsis by the city attorney, because that's the way I understood it too. And I do believe that it's not taken, this motion that I'm going to make is not taken lightly, but I'm going to move to place on file.
Is there a second?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Let's see, where are we? Item three, an ordinance to amend the municipal code to provide for a 4-year term of office for the position of municipal court judge pursuant to Wisconsin statute.
So moved. Second.
The motion is made, seconded. Any further discussion? Alderman Olson.
What is the timing of this election?
Madam Clerk?
The current term of the municipal judge is up at the end of next April. So the position will be effective May 1st.
So the next election will be 2016.
Correct.
Where does that fall in our election cycle? What I'm trying to get at is, are we incurring additional costs potentially by having the mayor in the off year, which was what we tried to fix when this whole thing changed last year?
Madam Clerk.
Well, first of all, you said the mayor.
I'm sorry, true.
This actually, it's hard to tell because you never know how many candidates you're going to have, but this actually could potentially save the city money because the municipal judge's term is up on an off year now when there are no aldermen or mayor. So if we were not to have anything else local in 2016, that position will be with other elected officials. So there will be 1 year, and that will be 2015, where unless something changes, there will be no local officials.
So every third election for judge, it will be by itself.
Right.
All right, motion on the floor has been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 4, resolution authorizing certain officials to execute an agreement between Veolia, Mr. City Attorney.
Mayor, this is essentially committing to further detailed writing the position taken by the city back in August of this year, and that all dates back to the 1999, which I call a quadruple siting agreement, because it was part negotiated agreement, part arbitration award from the Waste Facility Siting Board, part litigation result, and part settlement. In any event, all this does is maintain the existing understanding between the, and among the affected municipalities and the operator of Emerald Park, and that the direct payments that were agreed to at that point in time shall continue while there are expansions at the Emerald Park landfill. And for informational purposes, and this, these numbers are actually larger than what's been historically realized over the last few years, but the monthly share paid to the City of Franklin for the payable month of August 2011 was $6,292.25, and payable for the month of September this year was $5,192.03. That's up from it was in the $2,000-$4,000 range, and it fluctuates because it all depends on tons of waste disposed of. But in any event, and I did confirm with the lawyer for Veolia, the principal counsel on this particular negotiation, H. Stan Riffle is one of the assistant city attorneys in Muskego, that in effect this does nothing more than further document the recent expansion. Common Council waived negotiations on that in August. There was a large expansion approved back in 2008, which the Common Council approved. Ultimately, DNR on the initial site report said it's too large, which is why it came back again earlier this year, because DNR said no, the expansion site has to be smaller due to the 15-year site life, and this just further documents that the original negotiated agreement is hereby amended to add on this new expansion area, and that all the payment terms remain exactly the same as they were in the original agreement. There's one blank in this draft that I finally got confirmation on today. It's the date of the site report. There's a blank in there. That date today was confirmed as to be entered in there prior to execution if the council approves this agreement to be December 23rd, 2005. And staff recommends approval.
So motion to approve.
25-hour pass.
Is there a second?
Second.
The move and seconded.
I approve.
Let me try this again.
I motion to approve.
Is there a second?
I'm taking writing and doing everything at one time here. Motion to approve.
I think I seconded it.
He seconded it. Or he can be
discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the city attorney.
I understand Alderman Skoransky's motion to be a motion to adopt the resolution authorizing certain officials to execute an agreement between Veolia, ES Emerald Park Landfill, LLC, City of Muskego, City of Franklin, Town of Norway, Racine County, and Waukesha County for the expansion of Veolia Emerald Park Landfill.
Is that your motion?
Yes, that's my motion. That does very well.
Okay. And
I wasn't right in thinking and dancing all at the same time.
Under discussion, Alderman Solomon.
Just a question, Jesse. I looked at the map and it appears that it's closer to County Line Road. Does that affect any residents? Their payments to the residents?
City attorney?
Or don't we know or don't we care? I guess we'd care if they were ours.
I did not
review the contract for sociological payment terms. I can tell you what I think this amendment does in regard to that, but I don't want to because there never were any sociological payments from the city.
Great. made. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 5A, Eagle Scout Leadership Service Project Presentation. Is there a motion to authorize to upgrade lumber to cedar for the construction of a gazebo, Ken Wendell Park, with funding from the Parks Department 2011 Capital Outlay Park Improvement Fund?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Under discussion, Alderman Skransky.
Mayor, because of the relationship that I have with the scout, I would like to abstain from this vote.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Any abstentions?
Aye.
Okay. We have five ayes, no noes, one abstention. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item B, concept review for proposed Gordon Food Service Marketplace and future commercial development. I don't know that anything further needs to be done, no action. That the whole idea of concept reviews is to get the input from the council to the developer, and the developer to be able to give information to the council. My understanding of what occurred last night is that there was a, I'll call it a green light given to the Gordon Food Service Marketplace with a lot of requirements. One of them tried to get as close to the sidewalk as possible, bring it up to 27th Street corridor standards and or above that, movement of building, et cetera, but I think that was pretty much it, unless there's okay. Let's then turn to concept review for proposed indoor controlled environment agricultural development. Now, on that concept review that occurred last night, there was much discussion. The way I was looking at it, there was about four individuals on the council that were signaling that they thought it was an exciting project and that need a lot of work, that they very much wanted to come up to 27th Street corridor standards. And then there were a couple council members that thought that, just very clearly, that this was a nice project, but wrong place. And I think they stated that very eloquently and very succinctly. And that's pretty much where we stand. Again, proposed developer is here tonight. There's no action required because it's a give and take during the concept review, but I think that's in essence what occurred. Any disputes? All right. And this, these will, depending on what the developers took from that, this will either be coming to the plan commission or not. I thought it was encouraging with both of those projects that neither one of them signaled that subject to financing. It sounded like they were both well financed and able to do their projects. Let's see. Item D, concept review for proposed mixed use development. I think there was a lot of opinions on that. I thought that what I picked up is commercial, but residential there, maybe not. Maybe we have too many independent senior living facilities already. I thought that what the developer said was that this was a $18 million development that was taxable, and that there would be future projects if this one worked out, but really what he was looking for from the council last night was to see if there was a big problem with the steep slopes and the mitigation of the wetlands, and I didn't get that at all from the council, and I don't think the developer did. But the developer, who was former Mayor Hintz from Glendale, said that, it could be independent living, it could be something else. And I thought that there was a big desire on the part of the council that it's possible it'd be something else. But certainly, you really want to see commercial along Rawson. Alderman Schmidt.
I would just like to say, in relationship to all three of these concepts that we had long discussions with last night with the developers, I think it's all very positive. It's a diversity of different economic opportunities for development in Franklin and helping the Phillips and other areas of our community. And hopefully all three will move forward if they have the financing and support of the council to get them going.
They haven't met the staff yet either. So. Alderman Scranton.
Yeah, it was very surprising when Gordon Food Service someone asked if there was any financing. He says, we don't finance any of our buildings. Yeah, isn't that, that's very refreshing. And you would assume, without looking at a financial report, they are well-heeled to take care of their own business and move forward on it. Very good.
Alderman Solomon?
I think the last one for the concept review for the mixed use from the Hintz Group, I think everybody was in favor of what was presented. I understand Alderman Taylor wanted to see more commercial in there, but as we move forward, I think the two proposals for the two outlots facing Rossin Avenue, those would be, you know, developed. It would be very much likened to moving the whole project together if they do the whole thing at once.
Alderman Skransky.
Yeah, I agree with Alderman Solomon. That property has some very much challenges, and the back portion of it, not so much along Rossin Avenue, and with the two commercial buildings on Rossin Avenue plus the what they call the Memory Center, and I would need a little more clarification on what that is. Well, that's why after this last couple of votes, yeah, I'm going to be the first occupant. Absolutely, and then Jack's going to follow.
Jack's right.
Those we have,
it's good.
Those we have the chairman of the Ford Franklin Committee here, and Mr. Sweeney from the committee. One, I wanted to compliment you on. Just received a couple applications for new members. Outstanding. Probably be bringing those forward soon. But there was a lot of discussion about whether a project like that complements or hurts existing retail. And some of the discussion that came up was, at least for me, is that when the city of Milwaukee was having a lot of problems with open storefronts, things like that. John Norquist did, and his development team, was they started to bring condominiums and housing into downtown Milwaukee, which spurred the development, and it was a built-in clientele. And so I guess, one, I'd like the Ford Franklin Committee to kind of shepherd this through, trying to get as much commercial as possible. But also, find out what's the viewpoint of the neighbors, Orchard View Shopping Center and Franklin Town Center. They may have a different viewpoint. Alderman Wilson.
One of the things I thought that was important was that there was comments from the mayor about having a plan that was all-inclusive from the get-go, simply because I had made the comment that we always get complaints from neighbors. Senior center comes in, or the apartment or the residential unit comes in before the development up front comes in, then pretty soon you have trucks delivering, and then you have all kinds of complaints going on, which is why I wanted to see the whole area more business development and less residential. In fact, on the way here, I got another call from residential people next to Home Depot that the trucks are out there at night, 1 o'clock in the morning. Police got two phone calls last night regarding, you know, residents living too close to that type. So the zoning, I like the mixed use, but it's got to be done right. And that neighborhood clashing needs to be taken in consideration. And if it's not done right up front and they don't see a plan, first thing you have is people saying, opposition. We didn't know this was coming here, and we all know how strong the senior vote is. So that was my question.
Alderman Olson?
I think I was the only alderman who was around at the time, but then Mayor Murray was mayor of the council, mayor of the city, when the council voted on the Village Community Center. I don't think anybody else wants to sit on the council.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Look at the picture. I've got the shovel in my hand.
I apologize then, but you will then recall that that was one of the reasons for recall of Mayor Murray at the time by the residents on the east side of 68th Street. And we heard doom and gloom, we heard crime, we heard drunks driving on their front. We heard it all, as usual. But a month after it opened, we got no calls. I got no calls.
They were over there.
They were over there going for a fish for.
Yeah.
And as for retail, this can do nothing but good for retail environment. So, Mr. Mayor, I heard 5-1 in favor of the concept as it was.
But just on the, you might remember with the Polis Community Center, it was actually a swing vote. I was being lobbied like there was no tomorrow by everybody, and I insisted that that berm go in place so that the headlights wouldn't go into the neighbor's place,
but
probably one of the best votes we ever had was from the Polish community. So.
I trust there was no objection from the neighbors to the north.
funny, Doug.
The wallet?
And they owned the land at that time.
Mr. Kopmeyer.
All right, well, no action is required there. Item E, Common Council agenda setting. City Attorney.
Only this might be one of those rare recap moments, and it was triggered because in the back of my mind, director of administration spoke to me again after the meeting last night, and he again mentioned, we spoke on the phone that I referenced last night, that will council members ability to call a special meeting too, and that is really, if an aldermanic agenda item were rejected, that is the scheme in the Franklin Municipal Code. Obtain another aldermanic consent, and then you call a special meeting, and that's where the agenda item appears. And I was just thinking about that now, and I just breezed through this new, relatively new legal opinion and did not see a citation to section 62.11 sub 2 of the Wisconsin statutes. And recall in summary that assistant league counsel resulted in his opinion because he found nothing in the statutes that really spoke to specifically to mayoral authority setting an agenda, and therefore, since it's not in the statutes, it might be an abuse of the concept of improperly delegating legislative authority. Just now, I took Mr. Roberta's idea about how an alderman's concern is cured with the assistance of another alderman calling a special meeting, and I thought, well, the mayor, all by the mayor's oneself, calls a special meeting under the Wisconsin statutes. Mayor may call a special meeting by written notice delivered personally to each member or left at the member's usual abode at least 6 hours before the meeting. What goes on that agenda? So I think on the run here, the only reasonable interpretation that the mayor places whatever item is on that agenda. Agendas technically are not even required notices. The mayor sets that notice. There is a statutory provision which tells the world that the chief executive officer of a city, at least for a special meeting, sets the agenda. I didn't see any citation through the, there's probably 50 or 80 legal citations in that opinion. So that might have been overlooked, and there's a statutory reference to support the three prior legal opinions that the mayor or village president of a village have the authority to set the agenda, and frankly may have addressed this somewhere maybe before 1969, which is why you have the local code that says to aldermen may call a special meeting. And if you want to argue based upon some improper delegation of legislative authority, then both those provisions won't work, except one's in the statutes, the other one's in the local code. So outside of that, I listened to the council discussion last night. I don't know what the council wishes to do on it, so I didn't do anything further since then.
Well, Ms. Kraske?
Yeah, I think everything's working fine. I made that comment last night, and I'd make a recommendation to place this on file.
Is there a second?
Second.
So moved and seconded under discussion.
Well, I was listening to a tape, and I heard the mayor say, I think the people of the city just want us to get the business done of the city. And so one of the things we discussed last night, that we were just looking for some type of affirmation from the mayor that he would be fair to all the aldermen and that would live with it the way it was, and that's pretty much it. So.
Well, I promise I'll continue to be fair to the aldermen.
Sounds good.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor. And second, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, by his habit, motion carries. Ryan Creek Interceptor, that sounds familiar. Mr. City Attorney, is there a desire to go into closed session?
Yes, I understand the mayor, or I can read the agenda subject matter, but I would tell the kind of council. And so would Special Counsel Arthur J. Harrington, who's in attendance, that there is a need in the public interest for the reason cited in the title, that the council should deliberate upon this matter in closed session.
The council may enter closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statutes, Chapter 19.85, Sub 1, Sub E, to consider the terms and negotiation.
Mayor, we have a question.
Oh, there's a request for a 2-minute break, so please be back in 10 minutes. All right, we've returned to open session. Everyone is on the council. I will now, sir, motion to enter closed session pursuant to Wisconsin statutes. Chapter 19.85, Sub 1, Sub E, to consider the terms and negotiation of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources water quality certification permit request for contested case hearing litigation pertaining to the extension of the Ryan Creek Interceptor sewer project for competitive and bargaining reasons and pursuant to Wisconsin statutes, Chapter 19.85, Sub 1G, to consider with legal counsel for the common council who is rendering advice concerning strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to the litigation and to re-enter open session at the same place thereafter to act on such matters discussed therein as it deems appropriate. Is a motion to that effect?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skronsky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
All right, we are going into closed session. Only those having business on this item.
Here.
All right, we are back in open session. I have a motion to be made, and that would be a motion to withdraw the subject, Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and related Army Corps water quality permit applications, and to discontinue settlement efforts with regard to the petition for a contested case hearing.
So
moved.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I'm a little bit confused on how I should vote on this. I think, yes, I know, heard my thanks for the issue and all that, but given the stance that I've been taking, a no vote, this puts me in an odd situation. Is there any opinion from the city attorney on my abstaining on this issue? Is that not appropriate, or can I choose to do that?
City attorney?
An alderman has a right to abstain if the alderman determines that's appropriate.
Okay.
All right. There's a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
Roll call vote, please.
There's a request for a roll call. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Salomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skransky.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. Mr. Wasilowski, we are on. This is right. Item 7, acquisition of easement rights and interest in property for location extension, installation, and maintenance of public sanitary sewer facilities. Mr. Wasilowski.
Mr. Mayor, with regard to item G7, if council member wishes to discuss the subject matter, then I would say there's a need to do that in a closed session, absent any stated request to discuss this matter in closed session. I would recommend that the council consider the second motion on the council action sheet, which would be a motion to authorize the purchase of the subject easement rights subject to the terms negotiated by city representatives with the representative for the owner in acquisition negotiations in the format content as presented to the common council at this meeting.
Is there a motion to effect?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Wilhelm.
Is this a new parcel altogether that we haven't worked on before?
City attorney.
Mr. Epperly.
Mr. Epperly.
Or with this revised amendment.
So this
is in addition to an existing easement that we acquired.
Oh, because I didn't recognize the name, but I kind of stopped paying attention.
We got a permanent and temporary. It's been permanent before. This is the last
lay of the
school.
You sure?
Okay.
We have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
A roll call move, please.
It's a request for roll call. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skransky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
No.
Alderman Salomon.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Yes. Five ayes, one no, ayes have it, motion carries. Now turn to item H, miscellaneous licenses. Alderman Solomon.
Cards, hold for appointment. A's, hold for appointment. Hussein, approve with a letter. Rasul, hold for appointment. Hamilton, hold for appointment. Banda, approve. Benson, approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. You now have before you vouchers numbers 140422 through 140576. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman
Spratt. Aye.
Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. You have before you the net payroll of October 21st, 2011. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Joe Holman.
Alderman Skaransky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Salomon.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Aye. Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Motion to approve.
Move.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries.